Trust is a critical factor to people making buying decisions, especially when you are selling intangible products like digital products. No one can go into a shop and check out your products. They have to trust what you are saying is right. Trust the words on your website, what you're saying in your emails, your videos, your social media posts, etc. And especially when things get a little shaky in the economy and in the world, people can be even more wanting to make safe decisions that they know are going to be a good use of their money. So everything that you can do to help buyers feel confident, feel safe in their buying decision is a good thing you can do. I say that is all really good generally, but it is especially important in our landscape selling digital products. And when things in the economy are getting maybe a little bit dicey or uncertain, people aren't sure of the impacts on tariffs in the US and around the world. So everything that you can do to make your buyers feel more confident in making a good decision, and that if they make the decision and it's not what they thought it was, then they will be able to get their money back. It's a refund policy. I'll talk a little bit about that. All of those things can help you make more sales. Now, I'm going to give you a heap of suggestions of things that you can do in your business, on your sales pages, in your content, et cetera, to help buyers feel more confident. You don't need to do all of them, but just maybe a good time to have a check-in and see how many of these things that you are doing. And if that is able to, if you're able to take some of them, implement them, and make your customers feel a little bit more like, okay, all right, this is a good thing. I trust what it is, et cetera. So yes, I'm going to dive into that today. Now, this isn't a case of do every single thing. I got a lot of suggestions and just picking some of them, it's a layering thing. All of these suggestions can layer on top of each other to get that more general sense of safety for your customers. So it's not one of these individually is the be all and end all. If you don't have one of these as part of your sales systems, it doesn't mean that your business is going to end and you're not going to make any more sales. Think of them as micro trust points that you can cumulatively build upon to make your offers feel more trustworthy and feel like a safer buying decision. So firstly, I'm going to start with one that I feel is really important, and that is a rock solid guarantee. This is saying, I stand behind what I sell. I believe in it, and I believe that it is going to help you. I mean, hopefully that is what you believe. Hopefully you feel confident in what you have produced. But refund policy, sometimes that's something that people feel really unsure about doing. They come at it from the perspective of fear and worry that people are going to abuse them. And if you put a refund policy, like a no questions asked refund policy, then all that is going to happen is that you're going to get refund requests from customers. And you may be surprised that it's actually really rare. And if you are getting a lot of refund requests, then something is off in how you are presenting that offer. So that is actually helpful information for you to look at your sales process. So getting a lot of refund requests just because you have a refund guarantee is information. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just may mean that there is something that you are communicating about your offer that when people actually get the offer, they feel isn't there. But refunds are going to result in very few refund requests in my experience. What a refund does is so much more important than that. It helps people to feel confident when they're buying something that they can't see, that if they get it and it doesn't meet the expectations that they have from what they've read about your product, from what they've seen about your product, that they are able to get their money back. Most people generally, ethical people don't just go around buying things to then use it and ask for a refund. There is a very small number of people who do that in the population. And if someone is in that situation, where they either can't afford to buy something, so they're buying it with the intention of asking for a refund just to essentially steal it, maybe they really need that product, or maybe that is, you can't set your business up around that very small minority of people and instead accept that that is part of what's going to happen. If you run a retail outlet, it is by standard that you are going to just allow 3% to theft. It is just a part of running a business that a certain percent of it is going to be stolen. And that sucks. It sucks so badly. And it sucks when you know someone is ripping you off. But it is in such a small percentage and so unlikely that's going to happen, that if you set your business up around that you know, very tiny possibility, instead of making things feel really safe and comfortable and helping people to feel confident, you may find that you're just really looking at it from the wrong lens. Strong refund policies allow people to make decisions that they feel trustworthy about. They're like, okay, I can trust you. I'm buying something and I don't actually really totally know what it is, but you're going to back me up if it is not what I thought it was going to be. And that will probably, almost definitely, I would say, will result in you getting more sales. When you give a guarantee that if someone is not happy, that you will give them a refund, that doesn't mean you're going to just be giving out refunds willy-nilly. It means that people are able to go, okay, all right, I will layer that in with the other things and potentially more likely to buy it because they don't need to worry that they're going to lose their money. Because you've got to think about it from the buyer's perspective and not just your perspective. When you're looking at it like people are going to ask me for refunds and rip me off, that is a very you-centric view on it. But when you're selling things, you've got to look at it from the buyer's perspective. What is in it for them? They need to feel safe and confident. So a good refund policy is going to help them do that. In terms of what to actually put in your refund policy, there is a very wide scope. I did an entire interview series with Tracy Patterson where we talked about refunds. So I will link to that because it was many different opinions from both of us and lots of different ideas about how to actually structure a refund. And to think about it, that the refund is almost like a marketing tool. It's a copywriting tool. It's a way, again, to build trust factors into your sales page, into your copy. And how you actually set that up is up to you, whether it has conditions or not. Personally, I feel that the more urgency factors that you have associated with any refund, with the sales process. So if you're live launching, if you have a limited time window where you're like, this is only available for 7 days and you're using a lot of those sort of scarcity and urgency factors in your sales, the stronger your refund has to be and the more open you have to have to people just straight up refunding. Sometimes to get around that fear of people ripping you off, then some people will resort to going, okay, you can have a refund, but you have to show me that you've gone through the content and that you've done all of the lessons, etc. And most of the time that is being used to stop people coming in and using your content, taking it and then asking for their money back, i.e. stealing it. But again, think about the percentage of people that are doing that. If you find that there are a lot of people asking for refunds, then maybe you are selling something that isn't, you know, like your messaging is off on the sales page. You are hyping it up too much. You're promising things that you're not actually delivering. And maybe that's the reason why people are asking for refunds or you're having a spike or you are pushing them to make a very urgent decision. Maybe if you're like, you have 24 hours to decide, do you want this or not? And people are buying out of FOMO and fear rather than from making a really informed decision that they feel good about. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into refunds, but do bear in mind the stronger and the more customer-centric that your refund can be, the more customers are going to feel comfortable with purchasing and the safer that they'll feel and likely the more sales that you are going to get, even if it does mean occasionally you have to process a refund. I will say putting terms and conditions around a refund policy is important to actually state what it is that someone will have to do to get a refund. So don't just say you'll get a refund, you know, being really clear, like, you know, email our team within 14 days or, you know, no questions asked, like whatever it is that you are going to deliver on your refund. If you do want someone to do something, it's like, hey, you will get access to the first module or you need to complete this much of the course, because maybe you feel like someone can't make a fair judgment on the program until they've done a certain part of it. You know, whatever it is, those conditions that you set, and there's, you know, lots that you could do, just make sure that it's really clear for people, because again, that's building trust. It makes someone not have to guess and wonder what they will have to go through in order to get a refund. Now, I mentioned this before, and it is something that I think you need to strongly consider. You know your offer inside out and backward. It is not intangible to you. It is completely tangible. It is the thing that you have created. It may be your course, your community, you know it, you could be in there every day. This is something that's very real to you. But to a buyer, especially to a buyer who is unfamiliar with you and the way that you like to work, that is completely intangible. They don't have any idea of what it is that they're actually getting. You're explaining it, which is great and, you know, very, very important, but they can't try it on like you can with clothing. They can't go into a shop and touch it and pick it up and go, okay, I can see now. Like there's, you know, for people to be able to actually get that sense in their mind's eye of what they're getting, you might need to give more. So that is why people use things like mock-ups, either of the course or the module, like showing your course on a computer and on a phone, if it's available on a phone, perhaps giving a video walkthrough of your course. This is something that I love to do, is actually screen record you showing someone around. Be like, hey, come in and have a look and let me show you what's inside. And you may find that when you do that, then you are going to naturally just talk about, you know, why you put this module in here and how important that lesson is. And just actually being able to see the content and seeing that it's on a screen and that, you know, people can go into modules and there's video lessons, just that's making that more tangible. Showing schedules for live calls and live sessions like calendars, going into detail about the type of support offered, you know, where is it offered? Is it on Zoom calls? Is it in a community? Is it email support? Is it Boxer support? Like what specifically is it? Clearly defining how long someone is going to be able to get access to it can, you know, be helpful with that, especially when it's ambiguous terms around lifetime. So, you know, is it 12 months access? You know, what will happen if they want to stay on after 12 months? Does lifetime mean literally lifetime, like they will be able to keep it and download it? You know, it's theirs forever if for some reason it doesn't exist in future. Or is it that it's the lifetime of the course and you withdraw the right to, you know, pull that at any time? Those things, again, can be really helpful to being clear about exactly what it is that they are going to get. Potentially, now that Kajabi has brought in the paywall feature, which I'm super, super excited about, you can give even a sneak peek of the actual course. It's like, hey, you know, I'll give you a preview and I can show you what's around. But hey, would you like to check out the first module? And you can make that available for free. So people can actually go into the course and there could be a portion of it that you have available. And on the offer that you set up to give access, it could be for a limited time, or it could just be that you give access to the first part of the course and then you prompt people to unlock the full course. So there are ways that you can help, you know, make it as tangible as possible. Show, don't just tell is the idea here. People may have objections or questions or the reasons why not when it comes to buying your course. Obviously, they might be like, oh, this sounds really cool, but, and thinking of all of those buts, or actually even better, like getting feedback from people who didn't decide to buy, or people that are on the fence about your course, or even people that actually bought the program, and you can say, you know, like, thanks so much for buying. Was there anything that made you a bit unsure? Getting feedback may, you know, invite things that you didn't actually consider. But thinking of the common things that people might ask and actually addressing that, there's a reason why people have frequently asked questions sections, and often they are not, in fact, frequently asked questions. They are common objections that people may have to buy that you can address. And it can be things like, what would happen if I, you know, fall behind, if I can't access the content, if I'm not able to make live calls, are there going to be replays? How do I get support? Thinking about things like that people may be considering, like, are they able to access it on their phone? Like that kind of questions and things that people may be unsure about. Like, I don't have, you know, a dog yet. Is this dog training course going to be helpful for me? Like, maybe not that example. Or I've only got a puppy. Is this suitable if that was for that world? Like, think about the types of things where people might be like, oh, I'm not sure if this is for me because of this or that. And I think actually including a who this is for and who this isn't for section, without some of the kind of blaming language of things that you might say, like, this is not for you if you're not prepared to put in the hard work. Like, I often see stuff like that and cringe, but, you know, a straight up, this is for you if, you know, your dog is more than 6 months old. This is for you if you've got a brand new puppy and you want to start from the beginning. This is not for you if you're in this situation or that situation, depending on obviously your audience and the type of content. But I think really being clear can help people go, okay, they're not just trying to sell me. They're trying to make sure that if I'm in this position, then it's for me. And if I'm not, maybe there's something else. And in that, you know, it's not for you if, that's where you can say, if you're in this situation, this program isn't for you. Here's some other resources that might help. So it doesn't need to be a straight up, nope, this can't help you. But you don't want to be promoting your course or your program to people who it's not right for either. So having that section just helps with that sense of trustworthiness that, you know, people can understand that, okay, this is for me. Or, you know, maybe they understand that it's not for them and they don't buy. And that's okay, because otherwise they might have gone into it and then asked for a refund because they realize that it's not actually going to be that helpful for them. Social proof is amazing. You probably have heard people talk about social proof a billion times, testimonials, actual words from customers. What I would like you to do is think about the last time you bought something, anything. Did you go and look up review of XYZ product? You know, I just bought a laptop on the weekend, and the thing I did, put the model in and looked for reviews. I looked for reviews of the, I didn't even know what it was. I did have help, but the chip thing that's in it. And actually looking to try and understand the thing. People are going to do that for your programs as well. They, you know, being able to present reviews and testimonials on your page is really helpful. Believe it or not, I actually chose the surgeon that I used for my surgery here in Kuala Lumpur from Google reviews. I looked up surgeons and specialists in the particular field. And I kind of find that pretty wild. But what do you do when you don't know if you can trust someone? You want to get other people's opinions. You want to hear if other people have said, yes, it's good. It's okay. That person will do a good job. And it is one of the challenges when you are getting started. And I'll talk about that in a sec. But testimonials and other people's words can sell you so much better than you can often sell yourself. If people believe that they are able to get the result that you are promising them because other people said that they got it, they are going to be more likely to go, okay, all right, I feel good about this, than if it is completely, you know, blank from that. So you don't want to just have someone saying, oh my God, Sue's amazing, I love her. But actually going into specifics, that is what is going to be more helpful. And if it is specifics around your actual program, even better. Sometimes if it is a brand new program, you won't have that specific. So that's where you can be like, people who have worked with me have said, rather than saying, if you take, you know, people who've taken this course have said, if it is brand new. It's also one of the reasons why I think that it is really helpful to do founding member launches and beta launches where you do reduce the price in order to work with people a little bit more closely and get feedback. Not only does their feedback help you improve the product and the program, but it will give you those all important testimonials that are going to help you sell. I've seen a lot of sales pages, hundreds, if not thousands of sales pages. And a common thing among the ones that work really well and sell really well is social proof and testimonials. So people shouting your praise, and it helps people to feel safe that you are A, an expert, and you are going to be able to help them deliver the promise that you are promising on your sales page. You can also include things like using tools. You might have seen them pop up. There's one that I have played around with a little, but probably I'm just too lazy to use, I'll be honest, called Wyzer Notify. I bought that off AppSumo, but there's also another one called Proof. And that will pop up a little thing in the corner. Can be really helpful during launches and when you're sort of actively promoting someone and you're getting a lot of sales that come through. Because it'll be like, Sue just bought this course. Like, you know, Sue in Kuala Lumpur just bought this course, or you know, whatever it is, and they will pop up. And because it says 6 hours ago or 15 hours ago or whatever it is, it makes you go, oh, someone else is buying it. Think about if you go to a restaurant, will you go to the restaurant, you know, that has no one in it if you've got two similar restaurants, or do you go to the one that feels pumping and lively? Naturally, you're probably going to be more gravitated to the one that feels like something's happening. It's just human nature. So when you are seeing the live activity that someone is purchasing something, it can make you feel more confident. Also things that you can include where there are specific numbers. I've seen this a lot where people have newsletter subscriptions, or maybe even if it is a course that a lot of students have been through, actually giving specific numbers saying, hey, you know, 483 students, you know, have purchased this course, or 5,083 newsletter subscribers tune in every week, or, you know, giving those actual specific numbers. And it just helps with that, you know, layering of the trust to know that, you know, hey, there's a lot of people who have trusted this person in the past. Obviously, when you're new, you can't fake that. But even if you've been around for a while, like I forget to do this as well, like thinking, hey, if I can put this on my site, it's just layering in that extra piece of trust. And it's just a case of, you know, working out what those numbers are and adding it in there. So you don't have to do it, but it can be another little micro trust factor. I think that this is becoming more important, this next thing that I'm about to talk about, which is showing who you are and what you stand for. Like Showing who you are as a person, I think, is going to become increasingly more important as we move into the world of AI, because people buy you. Your content, I would imagine, I mean, sure, there may be exceptions, but for almost everyone that I've worked with, and I've worked with thousands of digital creators, the thing that you are doing, there is someone else probably doing the same thing in some kind of form. And what will make them choose you over the other person could be some of these little trust factors, but mainly it's you and who you are. People buy from people that they like, from people that they connect with. And that is why, you know, all of that marketing that comes before you sell is so important, because it's all those little touch points that help people connect with you, that help people trust you, and maybe even including, you know, some kind of section about who you are on your website. If there is something that you stand for really strongly, including that, and maybe that is going to repel some people, and that is okay. You know, bringing in some of those little things about yourself that you talk about will help people go, oh yeah, that's that person. I like them. So it's just that reminding of, yes, we've communicated with this person before, we like her or him, and reiterating that through a who you are section, and maybe even at a value section. I've seen some people just straight up call out, this is my values. If this doesn't work, you're not going to want to work with me. So whether you want to go to that, you know, extent, or whether you just want to be talking about the things that you are important to you, you can include that. Now, pricing is something, and being very clear with it. Again, this is micro trust factors. Making sure that you specify the currency if you're using a dollar sign. Now, this isn't going to apply to everyone in the world, but for example, my business is an Australian business. However, I mainly sell in US dollars because the majority of my customers are in the US. So if I did not put USD explicitly on that sales page slash checkout, so people were very, very sure that they were buying in USD, and there was no thinking subconsciously, oh, that's Australian dollars, because, you know, there is a substantial exchange rate difference. So if someone thought something was going to cost them $1,000 and it's actually US dollars, and then they get a credit card, notification, or they go to the checkout and realize, whoa, this has actually just cost me way more than I thought it was going to cost, instantly trust is eroded. And they may still decide to purchase, but maybe they're not going to feel quite as good about it because they thought it was something else, and then they find out. It kind of feels a bit bait and switchy. So if you are using any kind of currency sign that can be used in multiple places, be clear on what it is explicitly. Make sure that you have any charges for payment plans, taxes, etc. up front. If it is something where it is a monthly payment, but it's not a subscription, it is an annual payment, and there is some kind of, like, you're worried that people may think it's a monthly payment, they can just stop paying, but you actually are intending it to be a payment plan for a 12-month program. So it's 12 months of payments, not pay monthly and stop when you want. Make sure that that's clear. Like, anything that you can do to increase the clarity on what people are paying for, especially, like, I feel like, some of that checkout stuff, that last minute thing, you might think that they are not a big deal, but they really are, because not everyone is going to just be like, oh, damn, yep, I want to buy that. No questions asked. That's exactly what I want. There could be a lot of people in your audience where this is a tough buying decision for them. You know, maybe it's a bigger ticket item and they've had to really think it through. Maybe they've had to consult with a business partner or life partner, and they're feeling a little bit nervous about it. And all of the things that you can do to stack that trust are helpful. So being very, very clear, you know, if there's tax, make sure that it comes up, mention it's excluding tax and that tax will be added, like just all of those kinds of things. Keeping your checkout page consistently branded with your sales page so that it doesn't look like two totally different things or sites. Same colors, same imagery, similar language, because otherwise it can just be those little things where it's just jarring, can just be like, oh, that feels off. And maybe it's not something that people can put their finger on, but, you know, doing everything that you can to have that consistent action is really helpful. Doing things like adding, you know, that this secure payments and the little payment logos to the checkout. Again, tiny things that can add up to helping someone feel really confident. That checkout moment where they put their credit card details in, that's that final sort of bit where they're like, okay. And it's a lot of the times where people can drop off in the purchase cycle, or they may go to the page and then go, oh, and go away and come back and go away. So all that you can do at that point is really, really helpful. There's one more thing that you can do at that point, which I'll bring up in a sec, because I think it can be helpful across the board, not just on the checkout. But using logos and as seen on, you know, like if you've been in the media, if there's a high profile person that you've worked with, getting their recommendation or testimonial can be, or endorsement essentially, can be something that is really helpful, because whilst you trust other people's words, if you, you know that person because you know that person's name or you've seen them in the media and that person is saying, you know, hey, you know, go and work with Sarah. I've worked with him, with her, and she's great. That's going to have a lot more value in people's minds than a random person saying that they've worked with Sarah. So, you know, consider the value of using that. And maybe it's like, oh, I know people, but I don't want to lean on them. Please lean on them. If that person who has a profile is willing to back you, it is definitely worth using that. I will just add one thing in here around when someone is at the point of making a decision, having a way for them to contact you. Now, I know we work in the digital space and everything is focused around automations and trying to get people to, you know, do things without your involvement. But often the things that can make the biggest difference at the point of sale are things like personal contact. Have you got a way for people to contact you? Is there some sort of, if not an email, some way that they can message you if they have a question? I am using Chatra. It is a chatbot that I have throughout my site, and it also appears on my checkout. I had to do two little bits of code to get that on there. And that means if someone is at the checkout, there's a little box at the bottom and it says, message me. I have played around with that stuff like that in the past. And when I first put it on, I didn't notice a whole lot of people. But now that I've had it on there for about 6 months, I have found it to be one of the most helpful things that I have added. If I'm in an active promotion state, I will use the paid plan, because I think you only get like 20 free chats a month if you don't. And so, you know, depending on how much volume of inquiries that you've got coming through your website. But I have just found that, like, I've been stunned at how many people will contact me through that Chatra app. And if you're on the paid plan, you can actually see where they are on your site when they contact you. Are they on a checkout page? Are they on a sales page? Often it is that someone is on a sales page and they will message. And if you are online, if you are in a busy period, like it's your last, you know, 6 hours of launch and you've, you know, done everything you can and you're like, hey, these doors are closing, you can actually go on to Chatra and be online and have it open and change the message. So instead of saying message us, it'll, you know, you can change it to say, I'm here, ask me a question. And you can real time respond to people. Those extra steps, again, can help people go, okay, I am buying from a real person. If I need support, I'm going to be able to get support. Awesome. Depending on the value of the product, having the option for people to have like a 15-minute chat with you. Not everyone is going to want that. You may be like, that is totally unscalable. I don't want to do sales calls. But maybe not think of it as sales calls. Maybe thinking of it as an opportunity to meet someone and help them make a decision that they feel confident about. It doesn't need to be something you offer to everyone. Maybe you could just send an email out to everyone who has clicked through to your sales page from your emails. You can track that via tags in Kajabi. So maybe see, all right, everyone who's clicked through to the sales page and who hasn't yet purchased, I'm going to send them an email and offer them, you know, like, hey, do you want to just have a quick chat? Sometimes it is just that is enough. They've already made the decision, but being able to actually talk to you and go, all right, you are the same that you appear when you, you know, you're on YouTube. Like, I do feel good. Like, oh, there isn't a mismatch. This isn't weird. Yes, I get along with you. That personal connection is unscalable, but it can also be a really, really great tool in helping people feel confident. So another thing that you could potentially add to your site. Okay, two more points. I think it's helpful to be very clear on the support and access that people get, whether it's on the checkout page or whether it's on the sales page. Think about it. There's a reason why sales pages are so long, because they need to contain all of the information that someone needs to make a decision. And some of that can be this kind of functional stuff, being really specific about what type of support that they get. Maybe it's none and that's okay. Maybe it's that they can ask questions through the actual like course where you've got the comments. Maybe it means that you're available for email support during working hours. Maybe it's some sort of Voxer async office hours support. Maybe it's questions in the community. And if someone puts a question up, how long can they expect for that to be answered? Maybe it's on a live session. Whatever it is, just being really specific about it can, again, make people go, okay, all right, well, I think I'm going to need support with this. This isn't something that I'm doing on my own. And I want to be able to get support. So now I know how I can get it and I feel better about that. Being really clear about start and finish dates. If this is a cohort program that's running from certain dates, what's going to happen before, what's going to happen after, we're going to meet on this date. Like I mentioned earlier, maybe even putting up a call schedule or a calendar in your frequently asked questions section. Being very clear about how many modules that there are included or what the content is, which is a reason why you'll often see on sales pages, not just talking about the program, but in this module, we do that and that and that and that, and, you know, going through the different modules, talking about bonuses. You can certainly over-deliver and surprise and delight, but you have to at least make sure that you are delivering on those things that you're given and not over-hype them. You don't want people feeling like they've bought something and they get there and they're like, oh, is that it? I thought there was going to be more. Or over-hyping the type of support. I bought a course back in 2022. It was a, you know, $3,000 program. It, you know, promised the world, and it also promised a significant level of support that just wasn't there. The support ended up being that they threw everyone into one Voxer channel and said, ask your question. But the type of program that it was really wasn't suited for that. I thought it was going to be one-on-one Voxer support because that was what they were kind of alluding to on the sales page, plus other forms of support. I also thought that it was going to be support from the person who ran the program, but it ended up being people that were basically her her coach juniors, like people she was training to be coaches under her framework, not her. And there was not one piece of contact with her for the entire program. And I didn't ask for a refund because, you know, I felt bad about it. But let me tell you, there was zero me sharing my love for the program. And even I had a couple of people ask me about it because they saw that I was in there. And I was like, I would not recommend it because I didn't get what I was promised and what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be direct access to this person. The only direct access that we got to the coach was when she was selling an affiliate offer and doing live streams to promote the affiliate offer that she also gave to the people in the program. That was it. So that I felt was really misrepresented. I even remember going back to the sales page going, did I misunderstand that? So making sure that it's clear, like that left a really bad taste in my mouth. You probably want to leave a good taste in my mouth. And it doesn't matter if there's things that you don't include, like no one's saying that you have to include them. Just be clear about what you do include and, you know, who's offering the support and what that is going to look like. So yeah, little surprise and delights are good as well. Like there's a whole lot that can happen after the sale. I've tried to focus this on what can be done before the sale. Remember, even if people are like, don't do these things, it's unscalable. All that you can do to build trust is worthwhile and helpful, especially in, you know, challenging times. So I would suggest to you go and have a look through your offers, your emails, your checkouts, and see if there are some of these little factors that you could add in. See how many of these you're already doing. I would imagine you're probably already doing some of them. I just wanted to create a list of ideas of things that you could add and layer in, because it's not a do this and everything's going to be terrible. It's here's a whole lot of things that layered together can be really helpful. All right. That is it for today's session. If you have questions, please do let me know. And tomorrow I'm going to be back. It's nearly the end of my live stream challenge. I can't believe how fast this 30 days has gone. So I'm going to share with you some things that I've learned from doing live streaming as a video anxious person and how to actually do it. So I hope you will join me tomorrow for another episode of This Is What I Do If. And get trusting, get some things out there to help people feel confident buying from you and feel really safe in their decision. I'm Sue McLaughlin from the Unicorn Advisory. See you tomorrow. Bye.